하나님의 말씀은
The message comes from Matthew chapter 5 verse 1 to 12. Matthew chapter 5 verse 1 to 12. It's still a response reading. Now when he saw the crowds, he went up on a mountainside and sat down. His disciples came to him, and he began to teach them, saying, Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, for they will be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they will inherit the earth. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be filled. Blessed are the merciful, for they will be shown mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they will see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called sons of God. Blessed are those who are persecuted because of righteousness, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you when people insult you, persecute you, and falsely say all kinds of evil against you because of me. Rejoice and be glad, because great is your reward in heaven, for in the same way they persecuted the prophets who were before you. Amen. Now let's all pray that when we listen to God's word, we are determined to obey, that we can understand how blessed this word of God is, and also pray for the overseer who is preaching, that he will be anointed by the Holy Spirit, that he will have wisdom, knowledge, and power to preach the word. Let's all earnestly pray together.
Father,
on this Holy Lord's Day, we want to receive the word of life you are giving. As you have appointed this servant to preach the message, inspire him so that he's able to declare the eternal will of God, and also fill him with great power. Help all of our members, all of our saints, to follow the guidance of the Holy Spirit so that they can receive what God is giving. In Jesus' name, Amen. Be blessed with God's happiness. Let's all read today's sermon outline together. Let's begin. God is the maker of blessings and one who commands those blessings. He commanded two kinds of blessings. One is for the physical life in the world, while the other is spiritual, namely an everlasting blessing. Though every man has received the physical blessing, the spiritual blessing is only for those who rejoice with God's blessing. To have God's happiness is truly a great blessing that is incomparable to the pleasures of this world. To work for Christ is greater riches than the treasures in Egypt. Hence, God's blessedness is a privilege enjoyed only by the souls who dedicate themselves for His church. God dwells where there is His blessedness, and by His blessedness, He abides with those who serve His church with love, humility, and perseverance. Through repentance and change, we must be resolved to be joyful with God's blessedness alone. We have to remember that God's blessedness remains within souls who demonstrate their ardent love for the Lord's church. The new commandment is the greatest commandment the Lord gave us in order to keep us by the blessedness of God. Let us actualize our love for the church, the Lord's body, so that we do not reject God's happiness, which He commanded for our sake. Amen. God is the one who created blessings, and He also commands those blessings. And that blessing is for those like you and me who are in Jesus Christ. And we have to understand the way to receive that blessing. Because we are the men of God, we must receive God's blessings. Because we are living in this world, we tend to think about God's blessings in by according to our own ideas or concepts of this world. Now, the blessing that God has, He wants to give us. Now, we have to first prepare our hearts and await for what God is giving us. But if we only have our own ideas or concept of blessing, then we may miss what God is trying to give us. If we receive God's blessing, then just as it was with Abraham and his descendants, not only will we, but our descendants will also have this blessing. So this is a very important matter. So we're going to discuss the blessing of God today. What are the types of blessings that God gives us? Let's go over that. Of course, we can't go over everything, but if we look at the blessing of God in a larger picture, there is God's blessing that He gives for our physical life in this world, and there is also a spiritual blessing. These two are clearly different in the book of Genesis. There is a blessing that God gave to all men. He said, be fruitful and increase in number, subdue the earth. Now, this blessing, is God giving us the right to subdue and rule over the earth? Man is able to struggle in this world and therefore obtain success. They can gain, they can achieve something in this world. So through this, many people can enjoy God's blessing. Everyone fights and overcomes and subdues and takes over. Without discrimination, everyone is enjoying this grace of God. But today, we are not talking about this blessing. What we desire is the blessing that God gives to those who are within Him, who belong to Him. We want something rather special. The blessing God gives us has been actually revealed through the people of Israel. Like it was with the people of Israel, if they served God and if they followed God's law, if they obeyed, they received God's blessing. Through redemption, being forgiven of our sins, through these different feasts and festivals where we give thanks to God, we can receive this blessing. And that's what God gave to the world. So those who are within God, those who belong to God, can receive God's blessing, just as Israelites received God's blessing. But today's Christians, in other words, Christians who are living in this day and age, must receive this blessing from God. But they don't have this fierce and ardent, this fervent faith, this fervor in their faith to receive this. So the blessing that the Israelites longed for and they received, not everyone today can receive because of this reason. People today don't realize their faults very easily, and they tend to blame other people for their faults. They do the same thing with God, and they cause other people to misunderstand God. And people today don't like to be afflicted. They don't want to go through suffering. But we want to walk together with God, just as the people of Israel did in the past. And if we think of it as natural to suffer together with God, then God will definitely walk with us. We always desire to receive blessing according to our own desires and pleasures. We always think about blessing that is related to our flesh, our physical life. So although we come before God, we probably think about those five blessings that the world speaks of in general. Then apparently there are five types of blessing, and I can't remember what they are, but even in China, they talk about five blessings: long life, wealth, health, and virtue. Virtue is actually something you give, but anyway, that's considered a blessing. And living your life in full. This is what a lot of people's minds are set upon. So when we look at our financial situation getting better, we regard this as a blessing of God. Or when we become healthy, when we recover our health, then we might think of this as God being with us, as a blessing of God. And so people tend to relate these physical matters with God. Maybe it's the physical things that we want. Maybe it's, we regard that as our God. However, God does not dwell in such blessings. Even though He can give this kind of blessing, God does not dwell or rest in this blessing. Where God dwells is special. It's where God's happiness is somewhere else. And we have to understand what that is. Let me explain it to you this way. When He created heaven and earth, when He created the worlds, on the first day, He said, "Let there be light," and created light. But God did not dwell there. On the second day, God created the expanse. That's heaven, the sky, the universe, but God did not dwell there. On the third day, He created vegetation on the earth, but God did not dwell there. Now, where is God then? On the fourth day, God created the sun, the moon, and the stars. On the fifth day, He created all the birds of the air, fish of the sea, but God did not dwell there. On the sixth day, He created all the beasts of the land and human beings, but God did not dwell with them. Then where does God dwell? Of course, God is omnipresent, but where is it that God has set His heart? On the seventh day, the seventh day, the whole of the seventh day, God blessed and hallowed it, and He rested on it. That's where God rests. God regards that day as His happiness. For 6 days, He could not dwell on any one of those days, but this one day, the seventh day, was a day that He blessed and where He dwells. This is a very important point. There are also souls in which God can abide, where God can dwell. I can say confidently today, and I can give you a very clear example. That's Moses. In Hebrews chapter 11, Moses was raised by the daughter of Pharaoh. He was a prince, and the pleasure, the glory that he could have, he actually refused. And he chose to suffer affliction with the people who were suffering. So he refused this pleasure. And he did that for Christ as well. He regarded suffering affliction for Christ as greater riches than the treasures in Egypt. It's remarkable. It's not something that any average person can do or choose to do. So we can say that Moses has great faith. What is it that set Moses' heart so firmly to do this? What made him so steadfast? Why did he do this? As we read in the Bible, he regarded the reproach of Christ greater riches. Of course, at that time, he did not see Christ. He could only see towards the future very vaguely. He saw the past, but he only had a vague picture of what was to come. What he chose was the work of God. And that was to walk with God, who was preparing for the way of Christ. He was partaking in the work of God. And what he did for God was what he did for the works of Christ. So he chose to do what would make God happy. And by doing that, Moses himself enjoyed that happiness. So even the affliction that he suffered, he didn't regard as suffering. It doesn't mean that he didn't feel the pain. Of course, it was painful. But because he was doing what was delightful to God, he did not regard that suffering as a suffering. In the Bible, especially in the book of Hebrews, chapter 11, there are many people like Moses who have this similar, this common feature. We can see Abel, Enoch, Noah, Abraham, even the prostitute Rahab, as well as many other people they are mentioned in chapter 11, and they have this common feature. They regarded the happiness to work for Jesus Christ. If we talk about sin, sin is something that God cannot abide with. God cannot rest where there is sin. And theologically, we divide sin into three categories, and the first is the original sin. What is the original sin? When the devil tempted Eve, he said, if you eat the fruit of the knowledge of good and evil, you can also become like God. And when Eve saw that fruit, it was so good for food, it seemed like it would give her wisdom. So she, although God did not want her to take and eat, she ate it for her pleasures. And therefore sinned. And that's the original sin. Of course, we are not under the oppression of the original sin. But when you desire to do what you want, when you choose to do what you want, you would escape from the attention of God, and that leads to original sin. And the second type of sin is actual sin. That's about ignoring God and choosing to do what your flesh desires or what your flesh feels pleasure in. Whatever your this also interrupts God's rest. And thirdly, there is the intrinsic or the inherent sin. Everyone has this. This is about having the desire in your heart. This isn't an attribute within you, or you can call it our sinful nature that desires to do what is contrary to God. We have this tendency to be led by our flesh, and this is within everyone. And this is actually in conflict with God's rest. So sin is actually contrary to the will of God. Whatever happens, though we have received much of God's grace and blessings, we shouldn't have any struggles with God. We should not go beyond the boundary of God's peace, His rest, because if we do so, then as the last Christians remaining on the earth, as those who have to fulfill the duties of God on the earth, we cannot actually use the opportunity given us. So we shouldn't have any struggles with God. And I bless you all in Jesus' name that you will not have these struggles with God. If we look at today's passage, the main passage you read, Matthew chapter 5, he says, blessed, blessed, blessed. We should not think of this as an old language or old term, but this is what the Lord is giving us today. This is the word we are receiving today. When He says, blessed are you, it means you who are joyful with God's blessedness, you who rejoice with God's happiness. Who are those who are blessed with God's happiness? Those who are poor in spirit, those who mourn, the meek, those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, the merciful, the pure in heart, the peacemakers, and those who are persecuted because of righteousness. These people are those who are blessed with God's happiness. To express this in another way, they don't have any struggle against God, but while because they have to serve God, they are probably suffering affliction in their flesh. So in the eyes of this world, they don't look like they are successful in any way. Although these people look like they are perishing, they are alive. Although they seem like they are in distress, they rejoice. Although they seem to be poor, they actually make those people around them rich. Even though they seem to have done to have nothing, they actually have everything. In this world, they might always appear to be at loss and suffering, but God gives that happiness, that peace that only He has. And He has promised to reward them. So it's not about physical matters. It's about God's happiness, and I bless you all to dwell in the happiness of God, to abide in God's happiness. We shouldn't keep linking God with physical matters, those matters that pertain our flesh, because that will only distance us from God. We have to seek and find where God's happiness is, where what God delights in. That's where we have to remain. That's where we have to fix ourselves upon. And I bless you all to do so in Jesus' name. That means we have to change our idea of blessing. Even though what we do in this world doesn't seem to be prosperous, doesn't seem to go well, we have to make sure that our soul is remains in God, and we need to always be sure that we are on the path of success. In what we do, in everything that we do, God should feel delightful. God should be pleased. The passage we read today is not for the people of the past, even though it doesn't seem realistic in any way, because it says you have to mourn. It all seems like you have to suffer. You know, who are these people that have to suffer so much? Well, today, this is referring to the saints of the Church of Christ today. It's a message towards us. It's a message of God towards us. This is an inevitable and also the due life of today's Christians. Who are those that God wants to be with? Who does God want to abide with? The people that are mentioned in today's passage are those that God wants to be with, are the ones that God keeps in His remembrance. They are the ones that God has determined to remember. And they are the ones that God has set His heart to reward. And these are the people we have to become. Even when the Lord came to this world, He revealed the will of God that the world cannot comprehend or accept. What did God do? What did Jesus do? He washed the disciples' feet. That not only showed how He will serve us, but He also told us to serve in that way. I have shown you the example so that you may do likewise. A servant is not above his master. Since I have done this, since your master has done this, you must do this also. You must do so, then you will be blessed. And the Lord spoke about blessings. We have to serve. In the eyes of this world, this might seem like a loss, but this is what God delights in. This is what God is pleased with. And so this is something we have to do. We can't just stay in distress. While we are trying to serve God, while we are doing the work of God, while we are serving the church, in our actions, in our deeds, we should discover God. We should witness God doing His work through us. Although we have to suffer afflictions, although it might be difficult for us, that's where God's happiness is. We have to first welcome God where He has His happiness. It might be difficult, tiring, and exhausting to do the work of God. That's where our true happiness is, because God's happiness is found there. When we do work for the church, when we work for the church, when we serve the church, in other words, when we do the work of God, when I say the work of God, I'm talking about, I'm not saying that we will do what God is going to do. I'm talking about the work that God has entrusted us to do. When we work in the church, when we serve the church, we are doing the work of God. And if we do the work of God, God said, I will reward you for whatever loss you had to suffer. When it comes to doing the work of God, this is all in the passage, in today's passage. This is a conclusion. But if you do the work of God, you will experience loss, but I will surely repay you for what you have lost. And so rejoice today. Rejoice in the midst of suffering. Everyone, you who are doing the Lord's work, may you be filled with joy. May you be blessed with God's happiness. I bless you all in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. So if you look at the sermon outline, in the first circle, it says, through repentance and change, we must be resolved to be joyful with God's blessedness alone. When we first believe, when we first accepted Christ, the first thing we do in the church is repent. Starting off with repentance, we begin our faith life. This is a very important step. If we repent, but we still have this heart to leave God at any moment, that means we haven't repented properly. Repentance. Through repentance, we have crucified our heart that was a slave to the world. Through baptism, we bury the man that belonged to the flesh and the desires of the flesh. As we come out of the water, we are born again. We come up, we come out with a new heart, an empty heart, and we are born again by the Holy Spirit. We experience a change. So to believe in Jesus means to have a change. So before and after we believe in Jesus, it's just completely different. Before we believed in Jesus, in other words, before we were changed, before we were transformed, we who wanted to rule over others become those who serve and share. A person who was rough in this world becomes like an innocent sheep, obedient, and a person who was always sharp and calculative, seeking his own interests and gains, is now busy serving the church and bears many losses. And we have to make such efforts to be changed in this way. Of course, as soon as we accept Jesus, there is a lot of change that does take place within us, but to believe in Jesus means we have to also make our own efforts and bring about a change. From the first day we accept Jesus, we have to learn about God and learn about our attitude, how we should be. Through our life in the church, we need to be the souls whom God can work together with, and so we need to bring about change within ourselves. We all have to make this effort. Even if we seek God, desire God with our heart, if our characters, if our nature is still the same as before, then we will hinder the work of God in so many ways. Because we are Christians, our old character, our old nature should be put to death, being easily angered, losing temper, or being greedy, self-seeking, only thinking about our own interest. Having this hostile attitude towards other saints. Korean people tend to be quite fierce, and they do not seem to be so considerate of other people when I compare, you know, our country with other countries. And so people tend to be quite aggressive and sharp outside the church, but we shouldn't bring that same attitude into the church. We have to first get rid of this hostility towards our saints, to other saints. We need to have mercy and compassion. And we also have to be peacemakers. We need to bring peace upon others. And for that, we need to continuously work for change. Secondly, we have to succeed worship with sincere heart and determination to see God, to meet God in our worship. We need to prepare ourselves and make this effort. I bless you all that you will have successful worship. And for the next week, and also for the times after, but first of all, for the next week, I want to give you something, a task that you have to do. Of course, every satellite churches, every regional worship centers are running their programs, but I want to give this as an addition. So I hope every minister in the worship centers implement this. For the next week, whether it's a Lord's Day or during the week, please show kindness to the saints around you at least 5 times. For example, while you are eating together at church with other saints, getting water for the other person, you know, preparing the plates for other people first. Please do something like that 5 times. Or opening the door and waiting for the other person. And I hope you all will do this. Or complimenting other people, respecting other people, showing manners. The question is not about what you think. It's about making sure you don't hurt other people, complimenting them and respecting them. Please do that about 5 times. So showing kindness and respecting others 5 times. I was actually going to say please do it 10 times, but I didn't think you would be able to do it, so I changed my heart. About a few hours ago, I thought maybe 7 times, but I actually reduced this to 5 times. So some people who are not able to come to meetings in the church often, they can only come on the Lord's Day, so they have to do all of this in the one day. But please count down how many times you've done this. And whenever we gather together in the church, please approach others first and ask how they are doing, so that the worship and prayer meetings that we have may be successful. I hope you would make a great contribution to our meetings. We need to profit our meetings, our field meetings, worship centers. You know, some people might be yawning and some people might not be so active in it, but being more mindful of it, caring about other people, seeking the good of this meeting, you know, thinking hard, giving all your energy for this. Please be that kind of person. Please be that person. who works harder than anyone else. Other people might not notice. They only can think about themselves and God, but please be the person who cares about other people and the meeting itself. When you come into the church, you know, have a look around what you can do to for the betterment of the church. Look around and see. After you finish, you know, these meetings and worship services where you have put so much energy and effort into it, give thanks to God for that hard work you have done, because God's interest and His attention will be upon you. God will find you. God will remember you, surely. And He will use you much more. He will comfort you. He will reward you. And by doing so, let us all be the blessed ones of God. I bless you all in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. If we go to the second circle of the sermon outline, we have to remember that God's blessedness remains within souls who demonstrate their ardent love for the Lord's church. If there is anyone among us who doesn't have any interest in the church and they only think about themselves and they are not thinking about working together with other people, they don't have this idea of overcoming the world with other people, people who are only seeking their own success, who just don't do what they don't like and only choose to do what they like. That kind of a person, that saint, might be asked by God, "No, where was it that you led your faith life? We're supposed to embrace each other in the church. In the past, we were all deceived by the devil. We were delivered, saved, and we want to live by what God gives us. So there are many people who have that desire and who are trying. We need to help them. Now, who is going to look after them? There are so many saints in the church whom we have to care for. Now, if you're only thinking about yourself, who are these souls going to be looked after? Who is going to look after these souls? And also, our church will be in financial difficulty. However, the Lord has entrusted us with His church. If you only seek your own success, and if you think that you are bearing fruits yourself, you think that you don't have to take interest in the matters of the church, we think that that can replace him. But no. We have to keep the new commandment with a pure heart. And we have to also bear the burden of the church with faith and thanksgiving, so that we can have God's happiness in our flesh and soul, in our spirit and body. Right now, well, these days, we are in a period of dedication, and dedication is an everlasting chance given us. So dedication is not done by only those people who want to do it, but actually, this is where God also joins with us, joins. When God encourages us to dedicate, God's attention is upon us, and He works together with us to achieve this. My heart and my attention is upon you, God is saying. He promised that first, and He works with us so that we can achieve this. Once this opportunity passes from us, we can't get it back. Oh, next year we have a time of dedication again, but that shouldn't be our attitude. We need to fill our hearts with God's happiness, and we need to take action today. I bless you all. We have to take action. So there are moments of hardship and suffering as we believe in God. Just as God dwells on the seventh day, He rests on the seventh day, we need to have God dwell in us, in our actions, in whatever we do. When we dedicate, God also works with us. He moves our hearts. And the Son of Man is preparing our place for us in heaven while He helps us in our dedication. So Lord, our family is going the way that You are going. Lord, we are with You in what You are doing. We want to think alike with You. The Lord is giving all His effort to move our hearts and touch our heart, to keep our hearts firm. And God is doing this work. Wherever God is at work, let us also abide. I bless you all in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. And in the last circle, the new commandment is the greatest commandment the Lord gave us in order to keep us by the blessedness of God. Until we leave this world, the new commandment is what the Lord declared Himself so that we may serve the church. And His disciples all taught this commandment to the early church. Now, how can a person who does not keep this great commandment, this new commandment, talk about the kingdom of heaven or even expect to be comforted by God or seek to receive God's inheritance or to be filled with God's, with the Lord's righteousness or expect to be shown mercy or to expect to have an experience of God or to expect to be rewarded in the kingdom of heaven? We have to keep the new commandment. God has already outlined the conditions by which we can receive His blessing. In other words, He has commanded this blessing, as it says in the final point in the sermon outline. We have to actualize our love for the church, the Lord's body, so that we don't reject God's happiness, which He commanded for our sake. God has commanded this blessing. Everything that God does, He says, I have received the command to bless and I cannot reject it. What God has commanded, the blessing that God has commanded, He does not take back or regret. Since God has commanded this blessing, it's a blessing that is already coming towards us. And we have to receive it. I declare this on the podium because I am a messenger of God. I'm a speaker. And so I explain the word of God and I declare it. I proclaim it. And I have given it to you and it's now in your hands. I really hope that you and I will be blessed with God's happiness. In the eyes of this world, it's absolutely incomprehensible. But just as the Lord already went through this, the world couldn't understand Him. Even though we have to suffer, although there is a lot of affliction, what God delights in, what God does, what makes God happy, let us do that and also find happiness in doing so. I bless you all in Jesus' name. When God is happy, let us also be happy. Let's not be joyful with the pleasures of the world, but let's be joyful when God is joyful. I bless you all in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Please stand. Let's all pray together. Please make a sound and pray. Let's be together in this prayer. Let's join our hearts together. You are not here alone. God is watching each one of us. So with a loud voice, let's think about the message we heard today, and let's pray that God will be at work within us. Pray that God will truly govern us with His happiness. Let's all pray together.